Welcome to the Davey Tree Expert Company's podcast, Talking Trees. I'm your host, Doug Oster. Each week, our expert arborists share advice on seasonal tree care, how to make your trees thrive, arborists' favorite trees, and much, much more. Tune in every Thursday to learn more, because here at the Talking Trees podcast, we know trees are the answer. This week, I'm joined by Chris Baker. He's a sales arborist in Orlando, and we're talking about what to do with your trees when things get colder. But Chris, it doesn't get cold down there.
No, it doesn't.
But you worked in Detroit before going down to Orlando, so that must be terrible to have your winters down in Orlando now instead of Detroit, right?
That's the whole reason I moved here.
So actually, down in Orlando, you know, we're not getting cool weather like we are here in the east and the north. Are there some things, though, down there that you've got to do as the seasons change and go to a relatively cooler temperature?
Most things can stay the same, but there are a few things that, you know, some people do in the wintertime here, or quote-unquote wintertime. Crepe myrtles, for example, will lose all their leaves, and it's probably the best time to prune those because usually they bloom all summer long. So if you want to do the pruning, it's the best to do it when they're off season, so they actually lose all their leaves like you would up north. Other things you can do is the cleanup of your beds. Obviously, you are going to get a lot of leaf drop. Even though the trees won't drop all their leaves, they will drop quite a few. So cleaning up your beds is a good time after you get all those initial leaf drop, and that's a great thing to do as well.
So when you worked in Detroit, could you grow crepe myrtles there? We can grow them here in Pittsburgh, Zone 6, but every once in a while, they're killed to the ground.
No, up in Detroit, they're too cold up there for them.
And so let's talk about the north, talk about the northeast and colder areas. When you were in Detroit, what kind of things were the first things that you thought about going into winter? What should we be looking at for our trees?
Oh, well, I mean, again, you're going to have all the leaves that are getting dropping. So you have your fall cleanups that go on. But the big thing, of course, is going to be your oaks and elms, which they can really only be pruned during the winter months. So that's usually December through maybe early April, just depending on what exact zone you're in, is kind of the main time that you're going to be pruning those trees, you know, and concerns of oak wilt and Dutch elm disease is the reason why you want to do those in the wintertime.
Yeah, my personal landscape, I'm dealing with oak wilt. It's terrible. But again, I've got my Davey arborist set up for some winter pruning. Explain to people why we don't cut those oaks and elms during the season. And if somebody comes to your place, this is what drives me nuts, is that Chuck in a truck comes to your place and he wants to make some money off you. He's going to say, oh, we need to cut that oak. We need to cut that elm. But as you mentioned, that's a bad thing to do until we get into dormancy, right?
Yeah. The disease is carried by insects. So like, for example, oaks, it's the picnic beetle. So whenever you have an open wound on a tree, that's going to attract the insects because the tree emits a pheromone, and that's what's going to draw them. They carry the disease on them. And when they get into your tree, that's what causes that disease to go into it. The disease can also be spread tree to tree, but we're not worried about that part in the summertime. We're worried about the opening wounds that are going to be caught drawing in the insects, which are the vector.
And then when you were going to a property in late fall, what else are you looking at on those trees moving into the winter?
Well, I mean, it's another good time to do a lot of your deadwood pruning, or, you know, any other pruning in general. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to see maybe that there's issues going on in a tree that you can't see when all the foliage is on because it's hiding it. You know, sometimes there's maybe some cankers or things like that that are going on in the tree that you can't visibly see because there's so much foliage in the summertime that might be, you know, leads you to know of what may be problems there may be for the tree. And that way you can advise a way of treating it.
And when you go to a property, and, you know, usually a homeowner or client will have one specific thing on a tree, you're looking at a lot more on that tree too, aren't you? You're examining the whole thing, top to bottom, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, most people are drawn to what's up in the canopy. Everyone always looks up, and that's a common mistake. Sometimes a lot of the problems are down below at the roots. You know, we might see things like girdling roots, or where maybe people are mulching wrong and they're piling it up on the trunk of the tree and it's causing rot to set in. there's a lot of different things. So looking up in the tree is what usually people do, but we need to make sure we're also looking down at the base of the tree as well.
In the north, is it still okay to fertilize, or do we stop at a certain point and stop fertilizing later in the season?
You can fertilize pretty much any point in time until the ground is frozen, even though maybe the trees aren't uptaking. In the fall time, leading up to when before the ground gets frozen, actually the roots do their most amount of growth on the tree. That's the biggest time for root growth, is actually in the fall. So they're still pulling in nutrients then. And plus, the nutrients of the fertilizer stays in the soil for up to a year anyway. So that way, that nutrients is already there when the spring thaw comes, and the tree can immediately draw from it.
And then how about mulching? What are we doing at the end of the season as far as mulch? Anything?
Well, most people, you know, you'll just clean out the beds. Usually you can add mulch in there, but most people wait for the springtime when they want that, because, you know, you get the snow that piles up on the mulch in the north, and then, you know, it doesn't look as fresh in the springtime. So most of the time you're just kind of cleaning out the beds, cleaning out, you know, all the leaves that are falling out. Some people do like to add mulch at that period of time, but usually best to do it in the springtime if you're going for aesthetics.
Is it weird going from Detroit to Florida and not having the change of seasons?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a different change of seasons. You know, we kind of have like a rainy season and a dry season. So we'll get, you know, periods where we won't have any rain at all. So it gets actually rather dry, and you don't have the humidity that you think of in Florida during the wintertime. But the climate is quite mild and nice and enjoyable. It's funny, you know, in the summertime in the north is when you enjoy the weather, and you actually enjoy the wintertime down here.
And when we have a bad snowstorm in the north, do you call back to Detroit and start laughing at them?
No, I don't laugh at them, because, you know, that's you know, sometimes they get a lot of work out of that. That's their, you know, how we get a lot of work out of the storms that we have down here in the summertime. They get their work out of the winter storms.
Talk a little bit about that difference. What you just mentioned there, the storms are completely different in Florida, but you're providing so much help to people in the same way, but in a different season, sort of.
Yeah, well, and here I would say we do a lot more to prepare for the storms. You know, up north, a storm happens and we are reactive to it. And of course, we have that issue here where we're reactive to the storms as well, but there's a lot of preparation. So usually April, May, early June, before the quote-unquote hurricane season starts, we'll be doing a lot of preparation for trees, trying to, you know, limit the amount of damage or wind that they'll take when those storms come.
Now, is that something we should think about in the north, doing a little bit more of that? Or is it just, you can't be done that way here because you don't know what's going to happen when the snow hits the tree? Or what are your feelings about that?
I think we could probably even do it in the north, not necessarily for the winter storms, because, you know, it's the ice storms and things like that that it's just impossible to prepare for, because it just puts so much extra weight on the trees. But preparing for windstorms and things like that with proper pruning and regular pruning, especially on older, more mature trees, can definitely limit the amount of damage you have from the storms there, because, you know, you still have the high winds and tornadoes up there. It's still almost the same in a way.
And so, how often do you usually go to a property that's like a regular client? How often do you want to be on that property to see the trees?
For down here, it's almost a yearly thing. So up north, we may be pruning every 3 to 4 years on your oaks. Down here, it may be a year to 2 years, because the growing season is much longer. The trees grow so much more. They grow faster. Plus, we have unique situation with having palm trees, which they can be pruned, you know, sometimes twice a year because of the amount of palms, fronds that grow on them.
Was there a learning curve for you going from the north to the south as far as the different trees, or does it stay the same basic, is the same basic knowledge used in dealing with trees down there?
No, it was a huge learning curve, and it still is. I've kind of caught up with all the main trees that we have to deal with, but I'll still, a lot of the shrubs and things like that, I still have a rough time, you know, identifying them as well, because there's very few trees that we had up in the north that we have down here. I mean, there'll still be some sycamores, some maples, a few of those still are down here, but just the oak trees also are completely different. You're used to the typical oak leaf, and there's only maybe two oaks down here that have that, and the other ones have an entirely different leaf, and they're an evergreen rather than a deciduous, so.
So tell me a little bit about that, that learning curve and working on IDing all these different things. Because I know that anytime one of us from the north goes down there, again, I mean, I'm a plant guy, but when I get down there, I'm like, people are saying, what's this? I said, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah, because Florida not only does it have its native, but it also has a huge amount of foreign tropical trees that they've introduced here as well. So it probably has more actual trees than any other state that there is. The first thing I did when I came down here is I just went to a nursery, and I just started walking around the nursery and looking at labels.
Well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's usually one of the first things I do when I'm trying to figure out things is at least the local nurseries, I'm going to have a good idea. That's not going to have all the exotics, but it's at least going to have all the natives that are going to be in the area and most things that grow. So
when you were up north, did you have any certain trees that you know, again, we say this over and over again, right tree, right place. But was there anything that you really thought should be planted more when you could find the right spot for it that might be off the beaten path a little bit?
I liked to go with, you know, more unique things, sometimes suggesting people, like, for example, crab apples are a very popular ornamental tree in the north. And I know I'm going to say the name wrong, the Adirondack crab apple, because it's resistant to crab apple, to apple scab, and it also has a very unique look to it. I really like that tree, so a lot of times I'll suggest that one to people rather than maybe some of the other traditional crab apples that are prone to disease that they would get.
I mean, most crab apples in the north, at least around here, they're defoliated well before fall just because of apple scab, you know, and I've got a couple that do the same thing. You know, I should be treating them and hope maybe next season my arborist will convince me. Treat those things early so you keep the leaves on them. What else was on you were thinking about when you were back up here?
There's you know, maples are a very popular thing up there. In Michigan particularly, a lot of people really like the red maples, but I'm not a big fan of them because they normally get chlorotic because our soil just doesn't hold the right pH. So without constant treatments, you're constantly fighting a battle of the trees turning yellowish color in the middle of the summertime when they're supposed to be green. So some of the things that people like to plant, I like to suggest other things for them. You know, maybe going with a sugar maple instead of the red maple or a hybrid.
I'm always surprised when I talk to arborists how much they love that sugar maple. And that is really kind of have me rethinking. And I'm like, and then when I go out to these places and I see a big sugar maple, especially up here this time of the year, boy, the color is just spectacular. Anything else you could think about up this way or even down there that you would want to do as the season changed?
The only other thing, especially down here, would be, you know, just having the trees inspected. Again, some of them do lose leaves. They don't lose all of them, but they lose some of them. It's a good time, just as the trees are not doing as much growing at this point in time, just to have them inspected to see if there's any sort of health issues that, you know, it's just early preparation for things down the line. We have, as I said, we have our oaks down here. Two of the main ones are your live oaks and your laurel oaks. And the leaf of them is very similar, but the bark is quite a bit different. But your live oaks can last hundreds and hundreds of years. Well, your laurel oaks, they grow much faster and get very large, but the life expectancy of them is maybe around 50 to 60 years. They constantly have hollows. They constantly have sap seepage, and they constantly are the ones that were pulling off people's houses.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into this. Why is this job right for you?
Well, a unique situation. At one point in time, I was living in Brazil, and I was wanting to come back to the United States, and it was kind of difficult without having a job or home or anything like that lined up. So my cousin had a tree and lawn business that he offered to, you know, help me get started back up and offered me a job and brought me back to Michigan with that. And I worked with him for quite a while there. And a couple of the people that I worked with actually worked for Davey beforehand, and they were constantly talking well about Davey. And that's what made me want to actually move on from where I was working with my cousin and get more into the tree side of things. and moved on with Davey.
And tell me a little bit about the process. How did you start with Davey? Doing what?
I started as a PHC technician in the Northeast Detroit, or the North Detroit office. Josh Leah was the one that hired me, and I was there for 3 years as a PHC technician, and I was promoted to sales arborist. And then just last year, I applied down here for Orlando to get a nice little change of weather and just to challenge myself, too. I wanted to, you know, sometimes you get complacent in things and you feel like you're not maybe as learning as much as you could. And you want just something that's going to challenge you. And that's why I decided to move down here.
That's good stuff. Talk a little bit about your relationship with your clients. And I always think it must be a great thing to go to a property and tell people that we can save this tree because, you know, we all love our trees.
Mm-hmm. You know, in down here, it's a little bit different because sometimes I say that I should feel like I say that a lot less than what I do in the North, as far as I can save your trees, because here, like I said, we have the laurel oaks and the live oaks. And it's usually people that are calling me about these laurel oaks that have these giant hollows and splits and things in them. And I'm usually have to tell them that we need to remove the tree more often than I can tell them we can save the tree because they just have a poor tree profile.
Well, again, though, you're helping them out by getting that tree out of there, because what's going to happen if they don't get that tree out of there? Eventually, something bad is probably going to happen, right?
Exactly. And what I do is, you know, I offer them, okay, we're going to take down this tree here, and then we're going to, you know, maybe we want to consider putting a new tree in, and then we're going to, you know, replace it with a live oak, something that's going to last them a lot longer.
Well, Chris, I'm going to leave it right there. That's good stuff. Even though you don't have to get ready for winter, we hate you for living down there because we're all bracing for winter up here, but good for you. I love what you were saying there about stretching and, you know, learning all those new trees down there. So thanks very much for your time. I sure appreciate it. It was fun to talk to you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tune in every Thursday to the Talking Trees podcast from the Davey Tree Expert Company. I'm your host, Doug Oster, and do me a big favor. Subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss a show. And if you've got an idea for an episode or maybe a comment, send us an email at podcasts@davey.com. That's podcasts@davey.com. And as always, we'd like to remind you on the Talking Trees podcast, trees are the answer.